Hi, this is Matthew Owen. On this week's Redwood Wonk, we're going to be discussing the Gaza Strip and the fact Trump wants to turn it into the Riviera of the Middle East. We're going to talk about Trump's weaponization of the U.S. military, taking it to U.S. cities near you. And then finally, we're going to talk about something called stagflation, when we have declining jobs with increased inflation, which is the worst of both worlds.
Good evening. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk.
And I'm Matthew Owen.
And we're discussing national political news of the day, and there's no way we're going to get through everything that needs to be talked about. There is so much happening right now. But we're going to start with, it's not necessarily directly American politics, but it's becoming one again, because it's something, one of those issues that Trump promised to clear up right away. I don't know if it was a 24-hour promise like Ukraine was, but he promised that, you know, there was going to be peace there. And in fact, Biden, before he left, had actually negotiated or brokered a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. Well, that has broken down. There's been a lot of bombing and starvation of people, because food and other help hasn't gotten in. A lot of throwing the word genocide around, and it's becoming kind of just a technical debate as to whether or not it constitutes it. But it is really bad news for Gaza. And then you have President Trump talking about, what has he said? He said it a couple of months ago, Matt.
He's basically said they're going to go in and do what we call here in America eminent domain. They're just going to take over the country, evict 2 million Palestinians, and then have his large billionaires and Arab sovereign funds go in, bulldoze the thing to the ground, and build new casinos, high-rise hotels, condominiums, and turn it into the Riviera of the Middle East.
I mean, you know, you never know if he's serious when he says these things. He's talked about Greenland and Canada and Panama and all of that, but it's not helping. It's not helping to ease things in the Middle East. Israel has bombed, I think, over in the past few days, Hamas targets in four or five countries.
Right. They figured out the Hamas leaders were in Qatar. They sent their jets in. Matter of fact, the U.S. jets saw the Israeli jets going one way, where the U.S. jets are going another. They raided in. Where are the Israeli jets going? We found out an hour later when they bombed Qatar.
Which is about one of the friendliest countries there to the United States.
But they had the Hamas leaders there. So they said, you're taking in terrorists, you're now open season.
There is also a U.S. military base on Qatar. So that leads to, you know, some potential complications.
Let's not forget the most important two things. Who started this war October 7th, 2023? Right. It's been almost 2 years, and who has not released the hostages after almost 2 years?
This, I mean, a lot of them have been released, but they're still holding on to them.
Quickly, release the hostages, sit at the negotiating table. They won't do it. So Israel's just going to pound them to the ground until we get our hostages back, dead or alive. And by the way, if we have to kill all of Hamas, I'm fine with that. And if we have to take out tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, Israel's kind of shrugging their shoulders, going, you've been a pain in our side for 70 years.
I mean, I don't know if Netanyahu really cares about the hostages. They're mostly a bunch of hippies that were at a concert, right? But it's an excuse.
Right. But what if that was your child?
Exactly. No, I agree, but I don't think he cares. If he had done that, he would have been treating this a lot differently.
I think he's looking at, I'm willing to lose 250 Israelis to take out 250,000 Palestinians.
Right. I mean,
he's okay with that.
And so, I mean, I can't guarantee that he would stop, but if he did do that, if they did release all of the hostages and he did continue, the Palestinians would be in a much better position,
right,
to say, hey, this is genocide, right?
Right. You know? They won't release the hostages so they can continue the genocide.
I mean, it's just, you know, they're like saying, well, we need it for leverage. Leverage for what? You're not getting anything. So I
want to go on one other topic here. When Trump's talking with these Arab sovereign wealth funds about taking in billions, if not trillions of dollars and leveling the place out and start rebuilding from scratch, there's talk of billionaires doing that with U.S. cities. They want to buy out U.S. cities. Peter Thiel wants to buy out San Francisco and then instantly raise the water rates and sewer rates and now start charging for police and fire, basically turning it into a monopoly where he controls the city's services and you have to pay or else.
I think if he's trying to buy out San Francisco, that's probably a bad city for him to try to buy out.
These people live in a different world. They don't think like you and I do, and they think big, I mean, just fantasy sometimes. But that's the latest thing I'm getting is they want the billionaires to buy out the U.S. cities so they can then control all the city services, and you, the resident, has to pay.
Yeah, I can't remember what they're calling these potential cities. Alternatively, they want to start their own cities and hope that people move there.
Well, they've been talking that one down in Central California for a while.
Yeah.
Where the billionaires bought a few thousand acres. And the homes will start at $1 million each?
Well, Peter Thiel wants to start a floating society. He wants to start a society in which women would be afforded full civil rights but not allowed to vote. And so I don't know why he expects that women would move there. But
I don't know why he opens his mouth.
It's kind of
like Elon Musk earlier when he's at his Doge days. Elon, the more you get on stage and make an idiot of yourself, the less the world likes you.
You might as well just make, Rush the only music that you're allowed to play there, right? That's the dork male music from high school. I mean, it's just...
That music.
I do too, but it's known as, what the nerd... and probably because I was a nerd high school student. But that's what it's known as, the boys' club music.
But
anyway,
back to Godwin, real quick, Eric.
But Trump has got a little bit of a problem here because it's starting to backlash here. Something like 80% of all Democrats now oppose what Netanyahu is doing, the extremity of it. I mean, everybody was supportive of Israel for quite a few months until after October 7, but 50,000 dead is extreme. For that, and not letting aid in, all of that, it's not the right way to do it. And in fact, why not let aid get in and then have Mossad get in there to try to track down what's left of Hamas? I mean, change the strategy. And Trump is kind of under the gun here because even Republicans are now starting to say there's got to be some type of change in policy here. But Trump isn't thinking about that. He's thinking, I'm gonna open hotels down.
Right. And didn't Trump say he was going to end the war in Gaza day one in office?
I don't know if he said that one day one. He said he was going to end the Ukraine war within 24 hours. I don't know if he made that exact same promise, but he did say it would be over shortly. But he had a ceasefire, and then he blew the ceasefire, or at least it got blown under his watch. There was a ceasefire that Biden had just negotiated that Trump had taken credit for, saying, they did it because they knew I'm coming into office. And it melted away. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
Listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. We have to talk about the most important thing here. Trump wants 2 million Palestinians to be evicted.
Yeah.
Where are they going to go? The Arab countries don't want them.
No. I guess to the West Bank, but they want to move them from there too, the Israelis do.
Do you think they're going to go into Saudi Arabia? Egypt?
No.
Qatar? No,
none of the countries want the Palestinians, at least not
Jordan,
that many of them.
Yemen? Where are they going to go? You can't just take 2 million people and say goodbye. It doesn't work that way. So
I don't know that big of a mass movement has ever been done like that before. I mean, other than during a war, and that was always temporary. They always left and came back, so.
After the war of 48, they lost a couple hundred thousand, had to go away, but not 2 million. So that was a big one. I want to take a minute, too, if we could talk about Charlie Kirk, the conservative youth influencer, was assassinated today. And I don't care what side of the fence you're on. Violence has, especially lethal violence, has no place in American politics. So my thoughts and prayers go out to Charlie Kirk's wife and two kids. I can't imagine being a 30-something-year-old woman with two kids at home and your husband got assassinated doing what he does. That's just wrong.
We don't know anything about the attacker. By the way, Charlie Kirk is, I have no knowledge that he's anywhere near related to me. He's obviously of Scottish origin somewhere like I have, but because that is, Kirk is the Scottish word for church. But it's, it is unfortunate. There was a man arrested initially. We don't know why he was arrested or why he was a suspect, but he was released and as not a person of interest. There was somebody who was running on the roof opposite that they think in a dark suit. And apparently it's somebody who knew what they were doing because he was shot from something like 150 meters away.
So I heard it was 200 yards, yes.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, the guy who did the thing in Pennsylvania last year who went after Trump was on a rooftop at 150 yards and missed. I mean, he got his ear, got an ear, but...
Why no, this was a professional. This was somebody who knew how to shoot. And so that's what we know about the person.
Just tragic.
It's horrible. And it sounds like, I mean, I don't know that they've caught the person. I don't know that they will. I mean, at this point, if they grab the wrong guy, were they after anyone else at the time? Were they, that's going to look real bad for the authorities who are there. But I don't know. We don't know what's going on. We won't know until further reports come out, and we won't know about the motivation. And everybody's going to point fingers. My suggestion is, everybody, we don't know.
We don't know
what the motivation is, what the political affiliation is. We don't even know if it was a political motive.
Right. So let's wait until we find out.
Yeah.
Moving on from there, we want to talk about Trump's weaponization in the United States military, the National Guard, and sending them into primarily Democratic cities and the pushback they're getting from these governors. Now, the one thing I'll say is don't discount Trump. He's not stupid. He goes after issues where 80% of the Americans believe in what his ultimate goal is, and that's to lower crime. 80% of the people want crime lowered, period. They don't care how. Just get it lowered. Most of these cities are under Democrat control, and in most of these cities, the Democrats have failed to lower crime. They hinted at in Chicago, murders are down from 600 a few years ago. 600 is insane. It's down to like 300 this year, I think 294. But 600 a year, that's nothing to be proud of. And the thing that nobody wants to talk about, most of these are black-on-black drug crimes. And no one can say that on the left because somehow that's bad to tell the truth. They're saying on Fox News every single day. And the Democrats need to take responsibility for it and talk about it.
There's a lot to discuss here. I mean, of course, he's already done what they're referring to as the surge in Washington, D.C. Initially, there was a big drop of crime. But we will provide, maybe it's on the screen as you're watching, a link to the statistics that the Metropolitan Police of D.C. keep. And it has a comparison of the surge with what was going on in D.C. last year, as opposed also with a comparison of the same number of days before the surge. There really is not an appreciable difference of pre-surge crimes. There is a big drop in carjackings, which makes sense. If there's tanks and soldiers all over the streets, there are probably going to be fewer carjackings.
That's good.
However, sexual assaults are up, not statistically significantly, but they're up. Assault with a deadly weapon is slightly up since before that. The other crimes are down somewhat, but as the surge goes on, there was a dramatic drop immediately. As the days continue, it's dropping off. Having soldiers in the streets does not necessarily prevent assault with a deadly weapon, because a lot of it is domestic. And if gangs are going to fight each other, they're just going to fight each other in neighborhoods where the soldiers aren't. I mean, unless the soldiers.
Eric, you just said the magic word there. What ethnicity are these gangs?
Well, it depends on the neighborhood, but in Washington, D.C., they're probably black.
How many white gangs are fighting each other?
Actually, I don't know at this point, but probably not as many.
This is what you hear on Fox News Daily. Yeah. And it's the dog whistle that Trump uses because 80% of the country wants lower crime, period.
Yeah.
Don't care how you get there.
Yeah, but it's not doing it. It's not, the point is that military occupation of the streets is not lowering the crime rate.
It'll temporarily lower it.
Yeah, for 2 weeks it did.
Right. I was there in L.A. in the post-Rodney King riots where there's M1, A1 tanks on the streets of Wilshire Boulevard. National Guard everywhere. I was there in October of 2001 in New York City where there's a cop or military every block in New York. So you couldn't go anywhere in Manhattan. All you saw was soldiers with machine guns and cops everywhere. And crime went down. But I mean, it's not... That's not their mission. Their job is not to hang out in U.S. cities.
I know of at least one crime that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the surge, and that was a sandwich thrown at one of the soldiers, right? I mean, I don't know if the police are including that in the deadly weapon charge.
A Subway sandwich, yeah.
Yeah. And I believe we discussed this on a previous show, but the grand juries aren't signing off on felony right. charges.
They're not going to prosecute someone for a Subway sandwich.
Not a felony. I mean, they'll do a misdemeanor, you know, for a simple battery, probably on a time served with, you know, if you behave for 6 months, it'll come off your record. That's probably what's going to happen.
For the Justice Department, too. He no longer is. He got fired the next day, but.
Yeah. Yeah, he did get fired. I mean, you know, it's. I don't want to write it off. It was something that should not have been done, but a felony for crying out loud.
I get it. Also, there's an LA Times article about the soldiers, the Marines, the National Guard in LA. They're bored out of their mind. I go to LA once a month. You walk the streets, everything's calm, everything's fine. And you look around and go, what are these guys supposed to be doing here? I mean, even if they're going to walk the streets of LA, it's just people getting on with their business. You can go to MacArthur Park, and I want them to go there because that's where the drug dealers congregate. But outside of that, LA's back to normal. It's just people walking in the sunshine.
It's, you know, it's always overblown. Portland, it's really bad where the demonstration happens, you know, near the ICE building or downtown. And it goes on for months every night. And sometimes there's fires and things like that. It's a bad thing. But then the way the news covers it, and not just Fox News, is you feel like the whole city's under a siege. Right. It really is about a 6-block radius at the most, and most people in Portland never encounter it. I mean, that's not to say that it's a good thing that it's happening and that there shouldn't be some steps taken to stop it, but it's but it's not what it's being advertised as, this dystopian.
I understand. I'm going to hit you with a Fox News theory here. Post George Floyd riots 2020 between Minneapolis, Portland, Seattle, some cities just went stupid crazy. And the right just gets to pound on a few crazy people out there. Was it Seattle or Portland had some area they said was non-government, you can't come here. It's like downtown.
Right.
And it was just stupid. Nothing was accomplished. But all it did was feed into the Fox News red meat. Let the Democrats take control and the idiot things they do.
Right.
And it sticks with the Democrats and it loses elections for them.
No, I know. Well, I mean, that's what they're saying, is they're, these are anarchists, and anarchists are registered Democrats. I hate to break it to you. Anarchists aren't registered anything. That's why they're
probably
anarchists.
Don't even vote.
No, they don't. If they do, maybe they vote green, but those aren't even the pure anarchists. Pure anarchists don't believe in government. So it's just,
it comes back to the thing with trans. Trans is less than 1% of the population. I think 0.5%. But all you heard on the 2024 election with Trump is Kamala Harris supports trans and the whole thing with the pronouns. That was one of the major issues. It was inflation and trans were two of the major issues there, and then, of course, crime. And Democrats are losing on those things, and they got to start turning the corner on these things.
Yeah, but they can't just abandon a whole group to, you know,
don't say abandon them, just don't talk about it.
Well,
don't make it.
It depends. If a trans person is beaten to death because somebody has it,
I understand. But every time some high school kid wants to change, and he does it without his parents, it's Fox News for 2 weeks.
But how often does that happen?
I think it's happened twice. But if it happens once, it's once too many.
Right.
Once you get 18, you can do whatever you want with your life.
Right. But I think those 2 times it happened, it didn't happen because the law. It happened because someone messed up. It was just, I don't think any law is allowed for that. So it's just, so we had a couple of other things we wanted to discuss here. What was our next topic?
Well, I do just want to say real quickly, Trump wants to move soldiers into Baltimore. He wants to move soldiers into Chicago. And now he's talking about Portland, and people in Portland are just shaking their heads going, what the hell? This is in 2020.
They have protests. There's protesters there all the time, but it's a small part of Portland. They probably should just, buy up that property and let them have that be the protest. I mean, it's
like People's Park in Berkeley in 68. There are always going to be protests there. But, my point is, if it's peaceful protest, who cares?
And I believe most of us are peaceful. There are a few idiots out there that are doing stuff, but
gotta stop the idiots.
Yeah. I want to bring up too, Trump is actually backing off of what he did. He put out a Truth Social thing that showed Chicago in flames saying we're coming kind of thing. Now he's backing off that, saying, no, we're not declaring war on Chicago.
It was Apocalypse Now. Right.
Right. Yeah. Pritzker. Right. I love the smell. Right.
Napalm in Chicago
in the morning. I mean, Pritzker responded to that pretty kind of like Newsom. He's not using the humor that Newsom is using, but it's Newsom is hilarious because he's got Fox News talking about how juvenile it is. And Newsom pointed out, I'm mimicking Trump word for word almost.
Why don't you say Trump is being childish?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being childish, this is exactly, I'm doing exactly what he does. It's a mirror. But Pritzker gave a really impassioned speech. The mayor of Baltimore invited Trump to say, look, yeah, we've got problems, but come and walk the city. It's not a hellhole, and it just and Trump says, I'll walk the city when the crime's gone, and it's just I encourage people to watch Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago. Google the slow moving coup.
Right.
And what, I don't know that this is what his planning, what the idea is, but he talks about how that we're normalizing the sight of military presence of tanks in the streets.
And men
we're normalizing
masks.
What's that?
Men with masks.
Yeah. Of a police force with masks. Men. We're normalizing randomly grabbing people out of the streets. We're normalizing all this, and we're saying it's okay or less concerning because it's immigrants or because it's somebody else, and it's we have there a military force of something like 6 states that sent their military forces into Washington in the state capitol where an election would be decided, and he says, hypothetically speaking, what if there is an election dispute in 2028? And the Democrats actually managed to win the election. He says, I don't think the Democrats are going to come to power.
Well, one, Trump's running again in 2028, but I think he's going to try this in 2026. He's going to look on election night and say, oh, look, Republicans are ahead across the board. Stop counting votes. Even though there's millions of absentee ballots to be counted, he's going to say, stop counting them. We won. Put the military on the streets.
I mean, this is a possibility. And it doesn't really instill confidence when you've got Justice Coney Barrett being asked, well, what if he runs? And she says, well, I kind of think that the
FDR
20... FDR
ran 4 terms.
Yeah, right.
Was her comment.
But the 22nd Amendment would seem to say you can't. I mean, just say, no, the 22nd Amendment, no, that's it. That's over. But she's not saying that. It's really wishy-washy.
You can serve 2 terms. There's one other president that served 2 non-consecutive terms, and it was Grover Cleveland.
Yeah.
So, but that was it, 2 terms.
Two terms?
He ran three times, won twice, and lost one. But he had it in between. It was a losing term.
I mean, it is a little scary as to whether they can do that. But that's if even he has to run. You know, I mean, there's also the possibility that he's going to say, oh, we've got all these cheating all over the place. Maybe we need to put off the election for a while until we figure out what's going on. That's his language from last time.
The main reason he wants the Republicans to hold on in 2026, if Democrats take control of the House, they're going to start impeachment proceedings for one of his, pick his crime.
Yeah.
Pick his crime.
So, I mean, yeah, he's going to have, he has the military in Los Angeles being and bored. DC. He's got the military in
DC, they're doing DC, landscaping.
Drawing huge protests. It's a huge protest in Chicago ahead of that occupation. Talking about Baltimore, talking about New York, San Francisco,
New York City,
Portland, and possibly Seattle. I mean, these are all blue cities, mostly with black mayors. It just boggles the mind. But this is what he's talking about. Is he talking about a coup? Well, this is America. Can't happen here, right? I mean,
it can.
Yeah. Well, it can happen anywhere. But, you know, that's, it's just, it's scary. If any other president tried this, even any other Republican president, people would be screaming. But everybody should say, no, it's Trump. That's just,
imagine if Barack Obama in 2016 said, you know, I think I'm pretty popular. I'm going to run for a third term. Fox News would have lost their minds.
Yeah. But I don't think Trump wants to run, because if he can run for a third term, why can't Obama? I mean, you know, and then it's him against Obama. I don't think he could win that election fairly. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
We've got, what is our next topic? You've got the list there.
Well, I want to mention real quick, two things I want to talk about is the politicians making the waves right now across the East Coast and West Coast. Gavin's having a field day with his social media team, and some of them are so damn funny. He had one where he says, Melania cleans Gavin's balls, a cap, a red cap. And the next scene was Melania holding up a golf ball that said Gavin and blowing on it. Ugh. I was laughing so hard watching
that. I missed that.
Oh, my God. And you know Trump's seeing this stuff. And he's one of those people, he loves to give crap to anyone, but he's got really thin skin and does not like it when they do that to him.
No.
So right. That, and the other one is Zohan Modami came out with a YouTube link where he spoofs going after the rich. He's wearing a jacket, holding a martini, opening up a book, and talking about the Hamptons and how all these rich money people are freaking out. They might have to pay 3% more in taxes, local taxes only. And they're actually freaking out over that. So I'll give him credit. You know what? Right now, if the election was held today, he'd win in a landslide. So let's see what happens down the road.
You know, what both Republicans and Democrats need to take it. For some reason, Trump is obsessed with beating him. I think other Republicans kind of were hoping he would win because they could use him as a foil, right? You know, socialist. But the problem is he calls himself a socialist, but that's not why he's winning. You know, it's not like the majority of New Yorkers are socialists. He's winning because he speaks to everyday issues. Part of the campaign. He's listening to people. He knows it and he delivers it. He delivers some pretty kind of, I won't say radical, but pretty reformative concepts in a very moderate way. And that's what scares them, is because he could help reframe discussions. I mean, the whole concept of a public option stores, that if the other stores are gouging people, that you've got government-run stores that will sell it at market price, sell the goods at it. Will it work? Will it not? But he's trying something, right? You know, I mean, people want somebody out in there who's going to try something, not just, you know, say it. And he's making proposals. And he even says, I don't know if it's going to work, but let's invest this much money in it. Have a pilot program of one per borough. And if it doesn't work, we'll abandon it in a few years. But let's give it a try. And
there's a reason why Costco is so popular. They sell the products with a minor markup, and they give great customer service.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's nationwide. That is why. And it's kind of interesting because Costco is the one that supports Democratic candidates and Walmart supports Republican. I have no idea why, but that's
I think Costco also pays double what Walmart does, literally.
Yeah.
In most states, Walmart's out paying $7.25 an hour. In red states, Costco's still paying $20 an hour.
But Trump has actually tried to directly interfere in the mayor's election.
Let him try.
He offered a job to Adams, apparently, but Adams is not doing that for whatever reason. He's staying in the race because apparently people have hoped that Adams would drop out so that most of his votes could go to Cuomo. But according to the latest poll, even that wouldn't be enough. Mondami is still ahead by 4 points.
And I was talking earlier, Mondami calls him Cuomo.
Yeah.
Not Cuomo.
No, it's and Sliwa, they're hoping Sliwa, I don't know how to say his name. He's the guardian angel guy who's the Republican candidate. Strong on the island, I'm forgetting what it's called, but Staten Island, but not pretty well strong otherwise. And they were trying to pressure him to drop out to see if at least those votes would go to Cuomo. The problem is he's an ever-Trumper. He's very conservative, but he doesn't like Trump. He hasn't ever. So so he's not going to give up his campaign for that. And so will Cuomo drop out? No.
Okay. So I want to say one other thing here, too, because we have to get it in every week. Epstein, he's not going away.
Yeah.
They just released the Epstein birthday book that Trump said didn't exist, that he said he didn't sign, that everything they said was in there is exactly what they produced, that Trump said he never signed it and didn't have anything to do with it. So people are starting to get out there, and Republicans especially, saying, are you comfortable that you elected a pedophile to the White House?
Well, this is the thing, and it's not necessarily proof that he did anything with the
Epstein
girls.
Files unredacted.
But he definitely was there when it was happening, and his name was
all over the Epstein files, according to his attorney general, Pam Bondi. Next week, the Epstein files disappeared.
Yeah,
I'd like to see them unredacted.
Well, the interesting thing that happened here too is that some of the people, the Republicans in Congress, were still on the let's release it, and they demanded that the file be turned over to them. And so they thought, maybe we can keep it under wraps. But they forgot that that the Democrats are on the committees, too. And they, they get to look at the stuff, and they posted the book. They posted the card.
Right. But I want to see it unredacted. I want to see the names.
Yeah. Well, I also think that the White House made a very big strategic error in denying that was his signature. Because now there's like hundreds of examples of that being a signature of when it's just his name, Donald. There, you don't deny it. And then once you're caught denying it, you can't turn around and say, it's a nothing burger. It's like, then why did you deny it? If it's a nothing burger, if it's not a big deal, you should have started with that. And at minimum, it shows that you lied about it in the beginning. And, it's and I say, release the whole thing. If it means Clinton goes down, so be it.
They're actually doing AI memes of people interviewing people with red caps saying, you elected a pedophile to office. He says, better than someone who supports trans rights.
Right.
That's literally their argument they're doing.
That's about it. No, it's not going away. And it looks like a few of the Republicans have completely turned on him on this issue. Now, Nancy Mace is trying to walk both lanes, trying to create a position where she can be pro-Trump and pro-victim. But she's having a hard time.
She's a sexual abuse victim. She should be first and foremost out there. She's talked about this extensively. She was raped earlier in life, and I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just saying, as a woman who was raped, she wants these bad guys to go away. I don't care if they're billionaires.
But it's a glaring problem that she's supporting someone like Trump. That's a problem.
It shows there's two different types of justice in this country.
Right.
Justice for the rich people and injustice for the poor. Marjorie Taylor
Greene doesn't seem to be too loyal to Trump lately.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see how that settles out. She wants to see the Epstein files.
It looks like Trump has already given up on Massey. They're already trying to set up a primary against him.
Right. Good luck with that. Yeah. I like him in Kentucky.
And Massey has been working with Ro Khanna. They have the joint bill going on. They've been going around. Ro Khanna saying, look, this isn't about politics. This isn't about being anti-Trump. Let's just let the victims have their say. And as we didn't have a show last week, so we didn't get to talk about, the victims are now organized. They're talking to each other. They're creating their own list. And this is now a dangerous force because they're going to probably start demanding the right to speak at congressional hearings.
Which billionaire white guy abused you when you were 15?
Right. I mean, this has been my take, is the reason there's been kind of a bipartisan hesitancy here is it's not so much that politicians are going to get caught up, but donors. I mean, this could be like an instant, at least temporary, campaign finance reform here if they release all the names.
And also, it's going out on social media now of Trump going back, when he went behind the scenes when these Miss USA teenage pageant, when the girls were getting undressed, where he says, when you run the pageant, you can do whatever you want. Now, if anyone else was accused of going backstage while teenage girls were getting dressed and undressed, you'd be called a perv, plain and simple. We have Trump on tape saying he can do whatever he wants. So I'm just letting the Trumpers know, you guys, you put a pedo in there, and now you're shocked that you put him in there.
Yeah. Where they have it. It's a Democratic hoax. I mean, and this is where Nancy Mace has been kind of put into a weird position. She says, yes, it's a Democratic hoax, but yes, these victims need to be, able to talk. And I mean, it's like, come on.
Our final subject here is going to be stagflation.
Yeah.
It just came out with a numbers report last week where the U.S. created almost a million less jobs than the previous year. I think it was 911,000 decline in jobs. So the new head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that person's about to get fired. They just fired the previous person because they came out with numbers revision of the jobs going down. We're seeing a slowdown in jobs now. Whether this is due to Trump's tariffs and the fact it's having a slowdown in the economy, whether it's true that it's caused by AI, where companies are just hiring less people, there's less jobs out there. Combine this with increased inflation. Inflation just increased to 2.9%, the highest rate since February of this year. All I have to tell you is go see gas prices. Trump says they're $1.80 a gallon. I drive by my local Shell, $5.35. I'm like, what the hell? They haven't gone down that much. The price of beef has gone up to a 20-year high.
Right. I mean, of course, California, it's one of the highest in the nations, but that means it's like over $3 in a lot of places that's not used to it.
Just saying, every now and then people are going to the grocery stores and their mouths are dropping going, I paid like 50% less for this product a few months back.
Yeah.
So
now, beef, I'll admit, probably isn't Trump's fault or a bunch of, things that are outside of the realm, at least not entirely Trump's fault, because if we were importing more Canadian beef at the regular prices or Argentinian, we would probably, it might actually help with the beef prices at least a little bit, but beef is through the ceiling. I mean, it's almost $10 a pound for ground beef now.
And if you're in a red state getting paid in $7.25 before taxes, you probably got to work 2 hours to buy 1 pound of beef in a red state.
And I would say that, eat healthy, buy vegetables, but those are going up too.
Vegetables went up 39% from June to July.
But nobody wants to talk about whether or not that's because farms aren't getting their workers. I mean,
One more interesting thing I heard there, Eric, is our lobster fishermen up from Boston up through Maine, the North Atlantic lobster fishermen, they're doing record catches. The only problem is they don't have their markets. The foreign countries say, we're not buying from you. We are not paying your tariffs. Buy. Do you know who's stepping in? Canadian fishermen. And Canada's exporting their lobsters to Europe. Canada's exporting the lobsters to Asia. And the U.S. fishermen say, we've had record lobster catches. We can't sell it overseas where we normally sell it.
So maybe that price will at least drop to below beef. Who knows in America? But it's just...
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But, you know, there's another thing that happened. As of June, I just learned this the other day. As of June, for the first time in over three decades, Canada is importing more cars from Mexico than the United States.
Because most of the other countries are resetting. If you saw recently, what's his name? Chairman Xi in China. He's reaching out to India. He's reaching out to Russia. He's reaching out to any country saying, let's just exclude the U.S. for 3.5 years. We have a new trading partner with China. What can we do for you?
I mean, they're going to be looking to each other for it. And again, as we've discussed on this show, once they establish those connections, all the businesses are going to have their relationships. They're not necessarily going to say, oh, let's jump back and buy from Americans. It might happen slowly over time, but not necessarily. Because first of all, they can't trust that we won't elect somebody like Trump again.
Right. It's going to be January 2028, and Obama's number one job is to reach out to all our trading partners and say, let's reset things of how the world should be.
But even if they're successful at that, you know, the nations themselves don't necessarily make those decisions. Individual companies have, you know, give and take orders. They're going to develop relationships with businesses in other countries and imports.
And Canadian citizens don't like us right now.
Not right now. They don't. They don't. Well, at least they don't like some of us. I mean, British Columbia has got a specific ban on imports of alcohol from red states. So we can sell them our Humboldt County,
beer.
Vodka, but they're not going to buy Kentucky bourbon.
Okay. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's just across the board. I saw another thing in Nebraska. They revised the state's GDP to a negative 6%. It's gone down that much because they can't sell their soybeans and their corn overseas. They lost, like I said, 50% of our buyers are gone. And when you tell a farm that's hanging on by their fingernails that you're going to lose 50% of your buyers, I don't care what business you're running. People are starting to get a little panicky going, I didn't vote for this. So I think his tariffs are going to have disastrous consequences for our economy in the next 6 months.
I meant to check this before I came on, but I on the radio, I didn't write down her name. But this whole Hyundai thing, the raid against the Hyundai.
With the South Korean workers.
Yeah. And which now that whole thing is stopped. We're talking about almost 9,000 jobs, and the whole thing is stopped.
They shot the entire plant?
Yeah. Right now, I mean, they're not canceling it. They're just right now they're all of those short term workers had special skills and they're all going back to Korea. And right now there's nothing happening. So this has been put off. Apparently it was based on a phone call from a woman who's running for a Republican office in Georgia.
She narked on the foreign workers.
That's right. Because she thinks she contacted ICE because she doesn't think that we should have foreign plants in America even, or that they should just hire American workers. The problem is this was pertaining to the construction of the plant, and this were very specialized skill. If they hire Americans, they're going to have to train them for whatever this particular construction is, and that's going to slow down the construction. So congratulations to whatever her name is. She is just effed over her state. I mean, you know, that's... So,
for the record, BMW has one of their largest production plants in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It's a boom to the local economy. People get stuck with minimum wage jobs and no benefits, now making 50, 60, 90,000 a year plus benefits, and they get to buy BMW cars at a massive discount being an employee.
I think... That European and other foreign cars markets, they've been opening up plants in the South, but they may stop doing that. They actually, I don't know if it's BMW or Volkswagen, but they actually wanted a union. But the Republican politicians down there were so dead set against it, they opposed it. That in Europe, the companies actually prefer to have unions because there's stability there. They can negotiate a contract price and, you know, okay, you pay it, you pay a little bit more, but you know what you're dealing with. It's and not only that, in Europe, you've got a base rate wage that goes up and down with whatever the company is doing. So if the company is not doing well, then they're going to know about it, and you can get better concessions from them if they've got a stake in it, right? You know, so that but American right wingers just don't have the concept of unions being a positive force, and so they oppose it. So Pennsylvania, that one is unionized, I guarantee it. And it's just anyway. We're probably getting pretty close. We had a few other topics that we could cover, but have we covered stagflation entirely?
Well, that's the main thing, is what's going to happen with jobs growth slowing down and inflation heating up. That's just one of the worst things ever. I think we had that in Jimmy Carter's years.
We had it in Jimmy Carter's in the very beginning of Reagan's, and Paul Volcker was in the Fed at the time, and he panicked and brought up interest rates to almost over 10%, I think it was. It was ridiculous.
One other thing I'm going to talk about is South Park is having a field day with Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Between the pilot episode they did, what I was laughing so damn hard, Trump's now having an affair with Satan. He got Satan pregnant, and Satan's now having his butt baby. And the Republicans are cheering that at least Satan's not having an abortion. And you're sitting there going, oh, my God. It's so bad. And South Park is just having so much fun with this. Of course, you'll never see it on Fox News. But on all the other shows, they just keep rolling their eyes going, oh, my God, I can't believe what they're doing here.
No, Saturday Night Live is coming back soon. It's going to be
interesting. Waiting for that. And then finally, let's talk real quickly. Trump's health. What is with all this funky bruising on his hands and his ankles? Yeah. He's got ankles the size of elephants. It doesn't
look good. And there was a whole week there where people were speculating as to whether or not he was even alive.
6 days he did not do any television. 6 days. He was doing True Socials, but was that him? Was that his staff?
Exactly.
You don't see Trump 6 hours out of the media, let alone 6 days.
No, so what's going on with his health?
He's not in the best of health. He's obese. He's now the oldest president ever. He has problems walking, but then again, he cannot hold a sentence more than two sentences, and he just starts going off tangents, and no one knows what the hell he's talking about.
And it's not like there wasn't a warning. I mean, remember the whole shark and being electrocuted thing that he went off on? You know, remember when he was just lost his train of thought and just started swaying to music for like 45 minutes at one event?
And he's got to stop the double masturbation on stage. I don't know what he's trying to do, but oh my God, it does not work. Outside of Trump land, where they think it's great, but everyone else is going, what the hell is our president doing up there?
Yeah. All right, there's a few other things we'll talk about briefly. We'll talk about them more in depth in future shows. One is the Supreme Court last week or a few days ago ruled that ICE may profile, according to Race, to stop immigrants. They don't need probable cause beyond that. Your skin color, your language, what type of work you're doing is apparently enough just to pull over. That is goes against decades of jurisprudence, and it's a real scary thing.
Yeah, the good news, Eric, is the courts went after Trump and said, no, you cannot bring U.S. soldiers to American cities without the governor's approval, or you're breaking the Posse Comitatus Act.
They're
going to export the Guatemalan children or deport them, and they says, no, you're breaking the Aliens Enemies Act of 1895. He says, you're breaking that. They went after him saying, no, you cannot do tariffs. That's part of Congress's control. So I'm glad the courts are pushing back.
There are some. And the appellate courts also have ruled that, no, you can't use emergency powers to impose tariffs because that you can't use that as an excuse to get around the tax power that is afforded to Congress in the Constitution.
Okay, Eric, I'm sorry you said that word again. You seem to think we have a Congress.
Well, and that's why I think Congress But see, the problem with that is that Congress can't impose that without the filibuster. So that's why they have to get around the filibuster to impose that. They don't have 60 votes to push the tariff. So they need to be able to, Trump needs to be able to do it unilaterally. And if the Supreme Court doesn't agree with him, and the Supreme Court's got to think long and hard about it and hope that the Republicans are in power, if they're going to rule that, yes, emergency powers can completely override congressional, you know, what the Constitution gives to Congress at a whim, then they better hope that a Democrat is never in office again. I mean, that's because that is a really bad short-term result-oriented decision. They'll be hearing about that, the case in November. There's briefing going on right now.
That's, let's speculate here, Eric. 2028, Obama wins. The Democrats take the House and the Senate. And Obama says to him, I don't need you guys. I got this. Whatever I decide, it's good.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's, you know, that would be the precedent. And as long as we got a few minutes left, real quickly, a few gerrymander war updates. Utah, it does look like there's probably going to be a Salt Lake City district opened up for 2026. The courts are not letting the legislature there drag it out. They're going to say either you come up with a map or we're going to draw one for you. It's kind of interesting because those are Republican courts, by the way.
Right.
It looks like Louisiana is going to have to break up that snake district between Lafayette and New Orleans that basically contains so many black voters. It looks like Missouri is going to try to use Kansas City to break up Kansas City in order to get one more Republican, eliminate a Democrat. They know if they do it with Missouri, they might come. They might run afoul of the second portion of the Voting Rights Act, which so far the Supreme Court is still willing to uphold. And Texas, even the gerrymandering before this recent gerrymandering was under attack from based on the Voting Rights Act because it discriminated according to race. And now it's doing it even more. The people that sued on that have just amended their complaint. It's possible that the Supreme Court will be forced to rule that the Texas gerrymander doesn't go forward and California's does. I mean, you know, so it's...
That'd be great.
They may have... It would be justice. Hopefully at that point, you know, at least after 2026, we would then have an emergency measure to undo it, just, you know, because none of us really wanted to do this. This is something that we're forced to do. There are a few other cases going around, but we need to have a national discussion about gerrymandering. And but
I thought we did. It's called the Constitution.
Well, yeah, I know. It was the Voting Rights Act. But anyway. So I think that brings us to our conclusion of the day. There's a lot more that we could discuss. There's so much going on, but I think we've got to stop it. We'll leave it at that, and we'll be back and next week. Oh, we still have predictions to do.
Yes.
That brings us to predictions. Matt, what do you have?
I'm worried about the economic numbers going south on us here. My fear is we might be heading towards stagflation with larger and larger job losses and increased inflation, and that's just not good for the economy, especially with the president who wants to let the Fed just open up the floodgates and lower rates, which would just cause more inflation and things are going to spiral and get worse. So that's my fear. We're going to be watching these numbers in the next 3 months to see what happens.
All right. I'm going to be real quick here. We talked about Mamdani in running in the mayor's election, has received some mainstream Democratic endorsements lately. I do predict that Jeffries and possibly Schumer will be endorsing him soon because they have pushed so much the vote blue, no matter who. He did win the primary, Democratic primary. And if they don't do, if they don't endorse him and instead endorse or just stay out of it, they will not be able to maintain that that vote blue, no matter who, upper hand for any future elections. Mamdani, whatever you want to say about his politics, is the first candidate to excite youth, particularly male youth, in a very long time. And they need, they're taking the wrong message. It's not his left-wing politics that's winning this. It's his populism, and specifically because he is perceived as being in touch with people that he's going to represent. Democrats need to take, to not learn the wrong lesson from this. And I predict that he is going to win, and that that it's going to lead to a much needed discussion within the Democratic Party.
And I hope you're right.
We'll find out if these things come true. Until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.